Looking for a place to park your money? Well, some American hedge funds are buying large amounts of land in Africa, buying or leasing an area much larger than California. And it's not just in Africa, it's all over the world. But they're very aggressive. Sometimes they're acquiring this land without proper contracts, and that's according to a think tank called the Oakland Institute. The funds do it to boost their profits in the food and biofuels sector, because buying land is a way of buying into that sort of industry. The BBC's international development correspondent Mark Doyle is reporting on this and joins us from London. Isn't this interesting, Mark?
It is. I mean, it's a phenomenon which has been taking place for the last couple of years, ever since the price of food reached a spike in about 2008, 2009. The price of food, of course, is going up because of various reasons, population increases and weather variations in various parts of the world. But because the price of food has been going up, people have started investing in some of these hedge funds, both in the States and in Europe as well, and other big economies like China and India have been buying into food and speculating on food and food futures, as they're known, i.e. promising to buy something in the future. It's led to speculation in food prices, which has led to food prices going up, which has led to demand for land going up. And as you say, large tracts of land have been purchased in the poorer parts of the world by the richer bits of the world.
And, you know, this is also a consequence of the dollar being maybe not the refuge that it once was. And so you can't necessarily invest in the dollar and hope to get a profit. I mean, gold may be safe, but, you know, T-bills in the United States, all this instability creates this sort of speculative environment. I actually read, and I don't know if you're mostly concerned with Africa this morning, Mark Doyle, but I read that there's a hedge fund in the United States that's like the, you know, top land owner in Uruguay.
Well, it's certainly the case that the poorer parts of the world are seeing their land being bought up, and that's partly because there is a lot of land there, but it's partly also because some of the governments concerned are relatively weak. And what this report by the think tank, the Oakland Institute, is saying is that they think there's an alarming lack of transparency in some of these investments, and that a lot of the land is not, as is being said, completely empty or virgin land. It does have people on it, sometimes pastoralists or shepherds, perhaps you'd call them, people who don't go there all the time but rely on that land, other villagers who rely on it for firewood, water, and so on. So land that can appear in an underdeveloped country to not perhaps be developed with the sort of straight lines of hedges and wheat fields that you'd expect in the States or in Europe, it may appear not to be being used, but it is still being used. And the Oakland Institute is saying that a lot of these land deals are leading to people losing their livelihoods, although their livelihoods are not kind of obvious and in the sort of modern sector jobs, if you like.
Right, right.
They're losing them anyway.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the impacts here, but I want to quote the report to give you a sense of what they've actually investigated here. Companies told the Oakland Institute reporters, authors, that it was, quote, easy to get what they want, referring to how easy it was to buy land. One of the researchers said, quote, by giving a poor tribal chief a bottle of whiskey. That sounds like the, $22 to get you Manhattan.
Well, yes, I mean, sadly, there is corruption in some places, and there is a weak control by even well-meaning central governments can't necessarily control what's going on. I mean, that I believe, was a reference to a place in Africa. There was another example that was given in Sierra Leone, a small country in West Africa, where there is a government actually has a law that says you can only buy or lease land for a minimum of approximately the equivalent of $12 per hectare, but some companies were effectively leasing or buying land for as low as $2 per hectare per year. So it's even things which are against the law in the countries concerned are taking place. But of course, we have to balance this with the fact that a lot of these countries say that they want foreign investment, they need foreign investment, because they don't have the technical wherewithal to make the investments in modern agriculture they need to make in order to compete in the modern world with food production.
Well, Mark, let's refer to a specific case here. Ethiopia comes up in the report. Here's Haile Mariam Desalegn, who's Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs in Ethiopia, who says they want these investments and are encouraging Saudi Arabia to actually buy up land to do things agriculturally that they're unable to do.
look, this is an additional investment. It's a new investment coming to Ethiopia. Out of the arable land which can be given for investment in Ethiopia, it's only 3% that has been prepared. That is 3 million hectares. Of course, it's huge when compared with small countries in Europe, but Ethiopia is a big country, you know.
Mark Doyle, you're the international development correspondent for our partner, the BBC. How is development strategy changing with this kind of investment in the land in Africa and other poorer countries?
Well, I suppose the government, like the Ethiopian government representative that we heard there, I mean, they would say that they're trying to modernize their situation, and they need finance in order to do that. But opponents of this kind of thing would say, well, does that man necessarily represent the ordinary farmers who perhaps are going to find it more difficult to get onto that land in the future,
right,
because they've sold it to Saudi Arabia? So there are political dynamics here as well.
Finally, do people get priced out of the market, whether they're residents or farmers, because the market gets hot and that raises prices?
Absolutely. They get priced out of the market in Africa the same way that they would in the States or in Europe.
And that creates issues for political instability in some of these countries that are actually trying to address the political instability, maybe by seeking these investments.
Yes, it clearly does. But land is a very, very important thing in many of these countries. It has a sort of almost religious importance, in the same way that people are a farmer who's been attached to his land for generations in the States is exactly the same in Africa. And if you lose that, then you perhaps end up as unemployed in a city, and that can cause political instability.
It's Mark Doyle, BBC International Development Correspondent, talking about a report from the Oakland Institute describing how hedge funds and other foreign investors are buying up land in poor places in the world with good intentions and sometimes some unintended consequences. Mark, thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.